All right, find your place again in the book of Matthew, please, the book of Matthew chapter 11. This is our New Testament book we've been studying together, and we've come to chapter 11 in this glorious book. I'm enjoying our journey through it. Now, there's 28 chapters, so I just hope that you just hunker down because we're just going to take our time. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 or 7. I don't know, got to go back and look at it, but anyway, we're in some long books, but these books have great messages. And we praise the Lord for them. Tonight's no different. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to preach on verses 1 to 15. The parallel passage of this is Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 29, just in case you keep notes and like to keep up with those things. Matthew chapter 11, just going to read one verse of Scripture for time's sake tonight. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. This is my title, my topic, my theme, and my text. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Help us tonight to be filled with the power of God. Help me tonight to be clean, my heart to be right. May there be nothing hindering you, I pray this night. And I pray as we gather around your word, thank you that you've said what you mean, and Lord, you meant what you said. And I pray that you help us not to add to it or take away from it, but simply faithfully proclaim your word tonight. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to this chapter in the book of Matthew, we're reminded that the Lord has been dealing with his 12 messengers in the whole chapter number 10. Now in that chapter, it took us a while to get through it, but we saw that he empowered them. He gave them the power to do what he told them to do. He named them and he instructed them as they went out to spread his exalted message. Now as we come to chapter 11, we see the opening verse telling us that the Lord was also out teaching and preaching in their cities. As a matter of fact, look at it. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now this goes to show that the Lord set the example of going about sharing the good news with others. Now if you're a leader tonight in any capacity, specifically in this church, if you are any kind of leader at all, we can all learn a lesson here. This is all introduction. That when we encourage those who we lead to do something for God, we should be out in front leading them in this particular activity. See, a true Bible leader does not get behind his followers and drive them. Rather, he gets in front of them and leads them to do what they're supposed to do. The Lord Jesus is leading the way here. And now, from verses 2 to 15, we see that one of the mighty servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God, is on display for us. His name is John the Baptist. Now, when we get to the 15th verse, we see the Lord making this statement, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, what the Lord is doing here, he's emphasizing in verse number 15 that what he had just said, what he had just spoken about, was of great importance and should be treated as such. By the way, it's a privilege, and I know this is simple tonight, but it is a privilege to have ears that can hear the word of Almighty God. Therefore, if you have ears to hear, whether you hear through your ears or through sign language, whatever the case may be, let us understand that God says, if you have ears to hear, these things are to be taken very seriously. Now, I hear three things with my ears tonight in this text. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And there's three things we hear, number one. First of all, let him hear the answer to John's question. Look at chapter 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" There's his question. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The first thing I see that he says, let him hear the answer to John's question. Now, we know from elsewhere in the Word of God, including right here, we see that at this particular time, John the Baptist was sitting in prison. And the reason he was sitting in prison is he denounced Herod's sin of taking his brother's wife unto himself. We see this in Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 to 5, and Luke chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. See, John the Baptist was bold, my friends, to denounce sin. He did not run scared of a person's office. He was a man of God who faithfully preached the Word of God. But while he's in prison, he hears of the works of Christ. Now, friends, it's also important that you understand that while he's in prison, he has already made the statement in the book of John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knows in his heart who Jesus really is. But right now in this prison, he hears about these works of Christ, and he sends two of his disciples to ask the Lord a question. And the question is, are you him? I'm paraphrasing. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, before we get into the answer for us to hear, let us consider that there are differences of opinion as to why John sent these disciples to the Lord with this question. Good people differ. Now, I'm going somewhere with that, and if you've been here before, you know exactly what I'm getting ready to say. But let me just hit on these. Some try to say that John was, that John was not doubting. Some good people say he was not doubting here, but he was rather sending these disciples to the Lord for their sake to prove to them who Jesus really was. Others, on the other hand, me included. Now, that's not, who cares, honestly, you know, because I'm not the authority. But I lean towards this. We believe that the reason John sent these disciples with this question was due to doubt in his mind at this time while he's sitting in prison. Now, it seems this is the true reason due to the answer that the Lord sent back with these disciples. He said, you tell him. You tell John this. You tell John what you saw and what you heard. Now, if this is the case, we can learn that when we're in doubt, we do need to follow what John did and take our questions to the Lord himself. However, let me remind you here that when good, godly people differ on something that does not make all that important sense, in other words, it doesn't change the passage. If good people differ, there must be another major thought brought about. Don't ever forget that. You know where a lot of people trip up? They trip up on things where good people differ and both of them can prove their point from Scripture. Are you listening to me? If that is the case here, then that is not what this portion of Scripture is teaching. That's not the emphasis of this passage. The emphasis of this passage is not, why did John ask the question? That's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the answer that Jesus gave him. What I'm saying to you is this. The point is that the Lord's identity is being questioned, and he is going to give an answer to this question that shows without any doubt who he really is. Notice how the Lord answered this question by telling those disciples to go and show John what they had heard and what they had saw. And right here, the Bible says the blind receive their sight and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. My friends, these were all signs of the coming Messiah. We see that in Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read that right here. Listen to what it says right here. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What I'm saying to you here is that when Jesus had this question from John the Baptist, no matter what the motive was, no matter why he sent the question, the answer to the question is the emphasis of this passage. He's saying, you go back and you tell my servant, you tell him what you hear, you tell him what you see, you show him that I'm pointing him to Scripture, tell him to remember what the Bible says about the coming Messiah, that Messiah will open blinded eyes, he'll cause the lame to walk, he will cleanse lepers, he will open deaf ears, he will raise the dead, and he will preach the gospel to the poor. What he was doing is, during this time of question, Jesus was pointing John back to the Word of God, and he's telling him, I am who I said I am. I am God. I am the Messiah, and my works prove it. That's the emphasis of this passage. The Bible says in Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy name above, hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let me ask you a question. Do we as human beings every now and then find ourselves in a place of questioning? Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a doubt or a question in your mind? May I give you some biblical advice? Do what Jesus did with John. Are you listening to me? He sent him back to the Word of God. And when you have questions come up, saturate yourself in the Word of the living God, and he can answer your questions for you. Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The Lord went on to tell these disciples to tell John in verse number 6 that blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And this word offended means to trip up. It means to stumble or be displeased with. In other words, in all of this answer here to John's question, the precious Savior was confirming to John and to his disciples that he truly was the Messiah. He was the promised one. He was God. They were not to be tripped up at this time. They were not to stumble at this time. They were not to be displeased at this time, but they were rather to rejoice, because Jesus Christ really is the one he claimed to be, and his works prove it, and his word prophesied it. I'm telling you that the first thing he says, he that hath ears, let him hear. Let him hear what? Let him hear the answer to John's question, that Jesus is God. He is true. This is not false. We need to keep going. We don't need to trip up. We don't need to stumble, because he is God of very gods. Hear the answer to John's question. Number two, hear the assessment of John's character. Now, I like this right here, but it convicts me. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 7 and following. And as they departed, now who's they? The they here are John's disciples. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Look at verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, what is the emphasis of this passage? What he's doing here, he's assessing John's character. He's giving an assessment. In other words, when John's disciples departed to give John the Lord Jesus answer to his question, once those disciples left, the Bible says Jesus began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. Now in these verses we see the Lord's assessment of John's character. The Lord brings out several things about John and his character. First of all, the Lord brings out that John was not a reed shaken with the wind. Now it's brought out in my study that back in this day these reeds could grow somewhere like 12 feet tall. But these reeds were so shaky that when there was a wind come by, they would bend down to the ground like this. And Jesus saying, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Did you go out to find a reed shaken with the wind? In other words, he's speaking about his character. And he was saying this, when you go out to see John and you went out to see him, you know that he was not one that would allow the winds of controversy. He would not allow the winds of persecution or false doctrine to shake him like a reed in the wind, bowing him down to the earth. May I say this to you right here, just in case, maybe there were some people back in this day, I can't prove this, I know that, but I believe this is something that's worthy of saying it because it's how the Lord does anyway. Could it be that there were people in that congregation who thought John was doubting during his time of hardship? And could it be that when those disciples left, he looked at them and said, do you think this is going to shake him? I'm telling you, he's saying that this man has a solid rock foundation. He is not a light-changing, inconstant man blown around by the changing winds of political or religious favor. Jesus was saying, this man is as steady as a rock. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are a lot of reeds in Baptist churches today. There are a lot of reeds who are shaken with every kind of wind of doctrine. Somebody comes and teaches that, they say, well, that kind of makes sense. Maybe I just need to believe that and try that a while. That's not John the Baptist, friends. Jesus said, when you went out to see John, what'd you go see? A reed shaking with the wind. He's saying he's not going to be blown around. He is anchored on the rock, and he's not moving. Then he goes on. Secondly, the Lord brings out that John was not a man who was clothed in soft raiment, who lived delicately and was in king's courts. In other words, John was not a man given to luxurious living, but he was one given to the will of God. Jesus saying, he's not somebody that was looking for an easy way out. He's not somebody who was wrapped up in the comforts of this life. He's not somebody who's just in it for the luxury. He's saying, John the Baptist, this dear man, the Lord Jesus is speaking this about him. He's saying he is not a reed that's going to be shaken with every wind. He is not somebody who's more interested than his comfort, than my cause. He's saying you're not going to find somebody like that in John the Baptist. The Lord then spoke concerning John in verse 11. And he said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. My friends, wouldn't you agree that the Lord is speaking well of John the Baptist? Wouldn't you agree that he's given a pretty high assessment of his character? He's saying, I want to tell you something. He's just sent me a question. I've proved myself to him. He knows in his heart who I am. But I want to tell you something about that man that's in prison. He is not a reed that's going to be shaken with the winds of controversy. He is not somebody that lack of comfort bothers him. He knows his cause is higher than himself. He didn't come to rule, he came to serve. He didn't come to be a king, he came to be a servant. And he says, I want to tell you something. Here's my assessment of him. There's nobody greater than John the Baptist. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's something when the Lord says that about you. Amen. I mean, what about Moses and Abraham and Joshua? And what about all these dear men of God? God's not belittling them. But he says there's not one greater than him. And I'm telling you, what an assessment of this dear man's character. John had confessed Christ, and now Christ confesses him. God always honors those who honor him. Always. Now, how can we apply this thought right here? The first thought we apply, that he is God. Keep going. Don't stumble. Don't trip up. Keep on going. He is Messiah. He is God. He is the promised one. But now, under this point, I want to apply this thought by saying the only thing that really matters, and may God help us to live this way, the only thing that really matters is what the Lord Jesus knows and what he says about you and me. That's all that matters. In a life and in a world where so many are concerned with what others think about them, I wonder what he thinks about me. I wonder what she thinks about me. Let us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church not be so concerned with what man says, but with what God says about us. I'm telling you, if you really live life to please God and please God only, it really simplifies matters, folks. It really does. It really simplifies things. You know, I've been rejoicing just this week on and off about how God has wrapped himself in simple truth that anybody can grasp. Now, God is not simple. He's not simple. You're not going to get to the bottom or the top or the side of God. He's God, friends. But aren't you glad he's put it on the bottom shelf where anybody can grab it? It was H.A. Ironside. He made a statement like this: put it on the bottom shelf where even the kiddos can get it. And may I say to you that I'm not tall physically, I know that. I'm not that tall spiritually either. And I'm glad that the bottom shelf, which is the only shelf I look up at, I can't see any of the other ones. I have to look up at the bottom shelf. Right there it is. I'm glad God's put his truth on that shelf where even somebody like me can get it. Amen, friends. You know what he's saying? Get your eyes off other people. The only thing that really matters is what I know about you and what I think about you. That's it. That settles everything else in life. That will settle what you do. That will settle what you don't do. That will settle how you speak. That will settle whether you go soul winning. That will settle what music you listen to. That will settle how you treat each other in your marriage. That will settle how you obey your mom and daddy. That will settle every area in life, friends. It really does. I don't care what it is. Does this please God? Is God pleased with this? We should live our lives in such a way that our God will not be ashamed to speak well of us. I don't know about you, but I want to ask myself this question. What would Jesus Christ say about me? What would he say about you? That's all that matters. Isn't that simple? You know, honestly, we're looking at three things to hear. Jesus said in these verses, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what? Let him hear the answer to John's question. He is God. Stay on the firing line. Don't quit and don't stumble. Let him hear what? Let him hear the assessment of John's character, that he knew John. He understood John. And if everybody else was questioning him, Jesus stood up to his defense and said, he will not bow through this. He is solid. There's nobody else greater than this man. I'm telling you that the Lord knows all about us. And if you confess him, he will confess you. Then there's a third thing that we're to hear. It's found in verses 9 and 10 and verse number 14, and that is this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The affirmation of John's identity. Let him hear the answer to John's question. The assessment of John's character. And the affirmation of John's identity. Who is this man? Who is he? Let's read these verses. Look at verse number 9. But what went ye out for to see, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And if ye will receive this, this is Elias. which was for to come. Now, in these verses, we see the Lord Jesus affirming to the listeners as to the identity of John the Baptist. In verses 9 and 10, we see the Lord identifying John as more than a prophet. He goes on to say concerning John, "This is he of whom it's written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." This is a reference taken directly from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. It's also mentioned in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. This truth is brought out in Luke chapter 1, verses 76 and 77 as well. John was the one who was chosen to introduce Messiah to the nation of Israel. We see this in John chapter 1, verse 23 as well. Now, along with this, the Lord identified John as Elias in verse 14. John was the fulfillment of the prophecy given in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Matter of fact, just turn back there with me just a moment. Look at Malachi chapter 4. Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers of children, the heart of the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, stay with me here, because the Lord is affirming something. The Lord is saying, again, in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 12 and 13, here's what it says. It says in verse 11, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake of them of John the Baptist. Now, how could John the Baptist be Elias? How's that possible? Luke chapter 1 verse 17 gives us the answer. As a matter of fact, you don't have to turn to it, but Luke chapter 1 verse 17 says this, "And he shall go before him," speaking of John the Baptist, "and he shall go before him," here it is now, "in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." My friends, John was identified by the Lord as a prophet who would preach Christ, chosen by God to be the Messiah's forerunner, coming in the spirit and the power of Elias. His whole ministry, here's the main point about all. You say, what's the big deal about it? I mean, what difference? What's that mean to me? Well, it means this. His whole ministry revolved around pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. That was his whole ministry. I'm talking about the spirit and power he came in. I'm talking about his name. I'm talking about his prophecy. Everything. He had one thing it revolved around. He pointed people to Christ. Somebody says, "What do you mean?" Well, remember earlier in this book, where they came to him and they were trying to lift up John the Baptist, he said, "Wait a minute." He said, "There cometh one after me mightier than me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose." It was John the Baptist who said, "He must increase, I must decrease." It was John the Baptist who the people were thronging out to, and in his flesh he could have tried to point him to himself, but there was a day when he saw the Lamb of God, and so he fulfilled the purpose of his life. He did not try to gather a crowd for himself. He said, "It's not me, friends. It's him. It's the Lord." And I'm telling you that what we learn here is that John the Baptist, listen to me now, we know the end of the story, that he was put to death, his head was cut off for standing for the truth of God's Word. This tells me that John the Baptist died fulfilling the purpose God put him on earth to accomplish. And what we learn from this, how we apply this to our life, is we should realize that we are on this earth for a purpose. Our purpose is not man-centered. Our purpose centers around the same purpose that John centered around. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that we need to understand that our purpose is not to get money. Our purpose is not comfort. Our purpose is not flesh. Our purpose is to glorify God and spread His message to a lost and dying world. And may we determine with the help of our gracious God that we will die fulfilling the purpose that God put us on this earth to do. I went down to the conference down at Crown yesterday. I'm going back Friday. I got to speak a session down there. Not in the pulpit, but just a session to the teenagers. And my heart was so challenged down there. There's something we're trying to do around this church, and what we're trying to do is start Bible studies all over our cities. I'm talking about take what you learn on Sundays and Wednesdays and reteach it during the week. Set up a Bible study in your home for your neighbors. Set up a Bible study in your business for your coworkers. Set up a Bible study, young people, in your school. Listen, Brother Bob's doing a great job with these public school Bible clubs, and we're trying to get into more and get into more. But why do the teenagers need to wait on us? The teenagers who are in these public schools could start a Bible club in that public school. It is not about coming here to hear the message. It's about coming here to get it and then take it outside. I'm talking about the four walls of this church and start Bible studies, knock on doors, tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That's why you're here, friends. You are not here to come and learn the Bible and it doesn't change your life. You are not here to come and learn the Bible and then just wait until Sunday. To get some more. You are here to glorify God and to spread His message. John the Baptist, whenever Jesus was speaking, and he's giving us the third thing, he's affirming who he is. He's saying he's a prophet. He's pointing people to me. He's more than a prophet. He's my messenger that was going to come to prepare my way. He's pointing people to me. He's coming in the power and the spirit of Elias to point people to me. Jesus is saying, let me just affirm to you who he is. He's my messenger. He's coming to prepare people for my message. What a way to live your life. What a glorious way to live your life. To say, God, I understand something. And what I understand is that I am not to be selfish. I understand that you have given me a message to get around the world, and I have a world of my own. I have neighbors of my own. I have coworkers of my own. I have classmates of my own. I have teammates of my own. I have all these things of my own. God, help me to fulfill the purpose that you put me on earth for. Somebody says, I can't teach. It doesn't take a good one. Glory. You know what it takes? It takes a submitted one. Wouldn't it be great for you to come on Sunday and start taking notes while we're trying to prepare some things for you? I've got series ready that I could give you right now. I'm talking about a whole sermon series on the book of Esther. I'm talking about on the book of Joshua. It's done. I've just got to get it typed and so on. I'm talking about the names of God. All these series that I preached here, if you want it, I'll give you a photocopy of the whole notebook, and you can take my notes and you can reteach it during the week somewhere. Somebody says, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Don't let the Word of God die tonight. Take what you hear and give it out somewhere else. Amen. You know what my burden is? You know what my burden is? Do we want people here? Sure we do. I hope we have to tear this whole auditorium down. It wouldn't bother me if we had to relocate and had to build bigger facilities. But are you listening to me? That is not the purpose. You know what my heart is? That we have more studying the Bible outside during the week than we do here on Sundays and Wednesdays. because those outside Bible studies will eventually infiltrate the church. Are you listening to me? Some of you all have coworkers who will never darken the door of this church, but they'll come to your home and eat supper with you and let you share a verse with them. You know what? You know what I'm preaching on tonight? Are you willing to get uncomfortable? Are you willing to be a reed that's not shaken with the wind? Or are you somebody that's looking for soft clothing? Somebody that's wanting to be in king's palaces? Somebody that just wants the easy way out? I'm telling you, it's time we take the truth of God's Word and we reproduce it in our cities. And we reproduce it in our neighborhoods. In these three things that we've seen tonight, and in this chapter we've looked at, Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Three things we've heard as the Lord speaks. We've heard his answer to John's question. If John was doubting or not, that's not the issue. The issue is Jesus answered his question in such a way that there was no doubt who Jesus is. He was saying, here's my answer to your question. You go back and tell him what you've heard, but then you tell him what you've seen. And he opened blinded eyes. Wouldn't you love to have been there and he'd done that? I mean, he raised the dead. He calls the lame to walk. And he said, you go tell John what you just heard and you go tell him what you just saw. Because John will know enough about the Bible to know that this is proving that I'm Messiah. You getting it? There's the answer. And he's saying, oh, tell him this also. Blessed are those who are not offended at me. Don't trip up, John. Don't stumble. I know you're in prison, but don't stumble. Don't be offended. I really am God. And as the servants leave, Jesus looks at the multitudes and says, what'd you go out into the wilderness to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaking with the wind? He said, you didn't find that, did you? He's planted. He's not going to blow around. What'd you go out to see? Somebody that's interested in soft clothing, just wanting to be in king's palaces? Said, you didn't find that because John didn't come for his comfort. He came for my cause. And then he said, oh, by the way, let me just tell you a little bit more about this man. He was a prophet, but he was more than that. He's my messenger. He's my messenger that the book of Malachi speaks about. And he's coming in the power and spirit of Elias. And just in case there may be doubters in the congregation here, in the multitude today, I just want you to know as Lord and Savior, his Lord, his Savior, I want to make this statement. There's nobody greater than John the Baptist. Because he came to fulfill my purpose, and that's exactly what he's going to do. Simple. Three major thoughts. We're not to stumble at the fact that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. We should be more concerned with what the Lord says about us than anybody else. And let us determine to fulfill the purpose of being placed on this earth by glorifying God and spreading his good news until he calls us home. That's the first 15 verses of chapter 11. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this time. I pray that you help us all to understand these simple gospel truths. Help us, Lord, not to make the Word of God any more tough than it's supposed to be. We know it's simple, and we give you the glory and honor for it. Help us to do business with you, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, beginning to play through softly. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you're here today and do not know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel that he bled on the cross of Calvary to make the way of salvation for you. We'd love to share that story with you. Or maybe tonight you find yourself in a place of question. Even though we're not sure this is true about John, maybe it's true about you. Maybe you find yourself in a place of doubt. Maybe you find yourself in a prison, so to speak, and you're questioning and you're doubting, and you need God to reassure you who He is. He does that through His Word. That's what He pointed John to. Or tonight, maybe you're concerned about what Jesus would say about you and your character. What would He say about you? Or maybe tonight, God's speaking to you about fulfilling the purpose that He made you for. He didn't make you to have comfort in yourself. He made you to find rest in Him. Maybe God is speaking to you about fulfilling your purpose. Maybe you tonight say, Jody, I want to accept the challenge in my neighborhood to get the gospel to my neighbors. I want to accept the challenge in my workplace to get the gospel to my coworkers. I want to accept the challenge in my school to get the gospel to my friends. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but let's do business with Him. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. May Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If you need to come and have the gospel presented to you, if you find yourself in a place of question, you need God to affirm Himself to you. If you need to come and ask God to help your character be just like John's, or if you want to come and say, God, help me to fulfill my purpose, whatever it is, Brother Gary sings. Come on now, would you do that? Come talk to God about it.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours.
They're playing through softly. You may be seated. I want you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Folks are praying. Folks are praying. I want to give them time. If you're still seated, I'd like you to look this way, if you wouldn't mind. We're just about through. We've got one business item to take care of, and then we'll be on our way. Tonight, I'm going to meet with those who have an interest in helping with this Cloud Apartment outreach for these children. On top of that, if you have an interest in getting some of my series studies, you say, Jody, are you trying to pump yourself? Absolutely not. I was trying to make it easy as possible on you. You understand what I'm saying? If you say, I'd like to start something potentially in my home or at my workplace, I realize many of you folks who work, you might need to go to your boss or manager and ask if you can do this on the lunch break or maybe before work or after work for 10 minutes, have a Bible study. If you have an interest in that, why don't you come to this meeting? I'll try to help you with that. Don't you think, can't you sense in your heart that time is running out? I sense that in my heart. Even if the Lord does not come back in our time, but He could come back today, but even if He doesn't, our time's running out. How fast time goes. Let's not waste it. Amen. So if you have an interest in that, there's no pressure for that. Please don't think, why aren't they coming? I don't function that way. I want the Lord to lay this on your heart. If you have an interest in it, you come over here to this meeting. We'll have two meetings kind of simultaneously. Okay, I'm going to call the church into business. This shouldn't take long, and we'll be on our way. You know, that's